Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a great blessing it has been to be in the Lord's house this evening. And I appreciate so much the music throughout the day, how it's ministered to us. And it's been such a great blessing. And I praise the Lord for that. I love songs that lift up our Savior and point us on Him. And what a great blessing that is tonight. I want you to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Surprise, we're in the book of Jonah again tonight. And Jonah in chapter 3. And I continue to feel led of the Lord to be here in this book. And I believe there's still some things that God would have us to learn from the life of Jonah. And we're in chapter 3. And probably just a few, maybe tonight, and maybe one other, maybe two other messages. I don't know how the Lord will lead in this. And but appreciate so much the opportunity to be able to go through verse by verse. And I've enjoyed the opportunity to go through this book, and I trust you have as well. And we're going to be in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you found your place in God's Word, I invite you to stand tonight if you're able to, out of respect for the reading of God's Word this evening. We are studying Jonah, the unyielded prophet. And again, to bring us up to speed, and I think most of us are familiar with the life of Jonah, certainly on a Sunday evening crowd, that God had come to him and given him an assignment to go to Nineveh, and rather than yielding to God and God's power, he yielded to himself, and he made for himself quite a mess. And of course, last week we studied the prayer out of the whale's belly, and how God, as Jonah came to God in repentance, God restored Jonah. What a great truth for us to understand when we come to God in repentance. First of all, in salvation, that God gives us a new life. But then as we stray from Him, as we live the Christian life, when we come back to Him in repentance, He restores us back to service to Him. And what a powerful truth that is. And tonight, Jonah chapter 3, actually starting chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them." And I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "The God of Second Chances." The God of Second Chances. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you tonight. We're so thankful for the opportunity that we have tonight to be again in your house, to open up your word. Lord, I thank you for the truths that have been spoken here from this pulpit this morning. What a great blessing, what a great help that was to us. Lord, I'm thankful for the music throughout the day, Lord, that has been pointed to you. Lord, puts our minds on who you are and what you've done in our lives. And Lord, yet as we open the Word of God again tonight, Lord, I pray that we could learn something from your Word. Lord, what a wonderful God you are, Lord, a long-suffering God, a God of second chances. And I pray that you would be with us tonight. Help us to learn this truth from your Word. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. We see here in this passage that not only does God give to Jonah a second chance, but he gives to Nineveh a second opportunity to hear the word of God preached. And as we study the scriptures, we study this passage, one of the great attributes of God that we find in scripture is that our God is a long-suffering God. Don't just think about the powerful nature of our God. He is so powerful. He does so many things for us. But one of the great attributes of our God is that he is a long-suffering God. In fact, I want to read in Psalm in chapter 86 and verse 15, the psalmist David would pen this prayer to God in Psalms in chapter 86 and verse 15. And I love the words of this verse. The Bible says there, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." As we examine the God that we have, God is such a powerful God. And I love the words of that verse, that he is a God full of compassion. And boy, we have experienced God's compassion in our life. We've experienced God's grace. He's gracious. And then the Bible says he is long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. And I'm so thankful tonight that we serve a God of second chances. Here's a God who spared Jonah when Jonah turned back to him in repentance. Listen, I believe as we study the book of Jonah, I believe that Jonah was a dead man as he headed down into the water. I believe that God gave him one final opportunity in that whale swallowing him. And if Jonah would not have turned to God, he would not have had another chance. But as he turned to God in repentance, God restored him. And what a great blessing that as God restores him, he puts Jonah right back into service. What a powerful God that we serve. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a God who has been more than long-suffering with me in my life. As I look back through my life and see how God has led me and guided me through my life, and though I've failed him time and time again, listen, God is so wonderful that he continues to graciously forgive me and use me. And I think that could be all of our testimonies tonight. As we have failed God, God continues to forgive us and graciously restores us and uses us in our life. I think about God's long suffering. You know, God's long suffering is seen in our salvation. I think about it. Listen, most people, some get saved the first time they're convicted, but many people, it takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit time and time again before they turn to God. God is so long suffering in that. And then I think about our service, the fact that we would fail God time and time again and that he would continue to be long-suffering. In fact, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 1, because one of the examples that we see of this is Paul as he writes to Timothy. He writes about the long-suffering nature of God in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. And I want you to see this tonight because it's a powerful truth that Paul would write to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 this evening, let me find it there. Paul in this epistle to Timothy writes in verse 12, and he says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Look what he says. He says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." He says, God's grace was long-suffering in my life. It was exceeding abundant. He says in verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now look at verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. As obviously we understand his life before he was saved, he was going around persecuting Christians, those that had given their lives to preach the word of God. He is persecuting them, and that every time that he's persecuting a Christian, I can't help but think that God is looking at him and saying, "That is someone I came to this earth to die on the cross for." And yet he was long-suffering time and time again till he brought Paul to the Damascus Road and he convicted his heart one more time. Long-suffering time and time again. Now think about in our own lives how long-suffering God is to us, to bring us to a place of salvation and then to put us in service. And I love this thought because Paul says, listen, God put me in service for a pattern of long-suffering. That if God could use Paul, self-identified as the chiefest of sinners, God can use each and every one of us. His long-suffering is seen not only in our salvation, but in our service. The fact that God would save me knowing my sin, it's an incredible testament to our God. The fact that he would use us, though we failed him time and time again, is an amazing, incredible act of grace. And I want you to understand something. Listen, the only when we see the grace of God in our lives and the long-suffering nature of our God, the only response in our life should be a life of complete yield to him. When we see where God has brought us from, when we see chance after chance that God has given to us in our lives, and we look at those things and we see the long-suffering and the grace of our God, it is such a wonderful thing that we ought to look at that and say, "God, whatever you would have me to do, that's what I want to do." Complete yieldedness to him. Listen, I want to also say tonight that we should never expect a second chance. When God comes and convicts our heart, listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I encourage you not to walk out of this room thinking that you have another opportunity to get saved. We are never guaranteed that. Listen, maybe there's a Christian in here and God is prompting your heart to yield to him completely. Don't think that you'll have another opportunity. I think sometimes, as I remember as a teenager, sometimes I was thinking, man, when I get a little bit older, then I'll get serious about the things of God. Let me encourage you, teenagers, get serious about the things of God today. Don't ever expect another opportunity. And yet,
when God does give another opportunity, a second chance. We should be grateful and thankful to Him. The only response to that ought to be complete yieldedness to God. And yet we see in Jonah's life, at least temporarily, there is a complete yieldedness. And I know Jonah still has more lessons to learn. He still has chapter 4 that we have to deal with some bad attitude from the preacher there. And yet I believe that this is the start of Jonah's life turning around to God. This second chance that God would give to him ultimately would bring him to a place of complete yieldedness to God. So let's look at this passage here tonight and Jonah's second chance. It's seen there in verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." I want you to see, first of all, in Jonah's second chance, there was an unchanged mission. An unchanged mission. Listen, understand that Nineveh still needed to know. God still wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. There was an unchanged mission there. What did he want them to know? Well, the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, the first time, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Listen, Nineveh needed to know that they stood in condemnation before God Almighty, that they were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. I want to remind you tonight, Christian, one of the reasons it's so important that we remain yielded to God and what He desires to do in our lives is that the world needs to know that it stands in condemnation before God Almighty. That God would have us to take this message and this mission to the world. Understand tonight, listen, God's mission remains unchanged tonight. That we are to go to a lost and dying world to tell them, first of all, and reveal to them that they are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. I want you to turn to John in chapter 3 this evening. John chapter 3. One of the very familiar passages of Scripture in the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen, the world needs to know that Jesus Christ came to this world. Look at verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." Isn't it interesting today what divides most religions is the name of Jesus Christ? They say, "Well, your God is such a judgmental God." Jesus Christ, if we mention Him, listen, we're okay with worshiping God, but don't bring Jesus Christ into the equation. And yet the Bible says that He did not come to condemn the world. The world's already in condemnation. They're in their sins right now. Listen, Nineveh was in their sins. Their sin had come up before God Almighty. And yet Jesus Christ came in to offer hope to this world. I tell you, the same mission that God sent Jonah to Nineveh is the same mission that we have today. To go to a lost and dying world and to reveal to them that there is hope in the gospel. Listen, the main reason as we look at this for Jonah's second chance is that God still had plans for Jonah. Still had a purpose for him. There was still a group of people. There was still a mission to accomplish. And I want to remind you tonight that that mission remains unchanged today. We still have a mission to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We see there in the book of Jonah in chapter 3, not only was there an unchanged mission, but can I tell you, secondly, there was an unchanged message. The message remained unchanged. Look what he says there in verse 2. He says, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Jonah's second chance was an opportunity to yield to God and preach God's message. But notice the emphasis there in chapter 3. He says, "Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Back in chapter 1, we see that he was to go and cry against it, "For their wickedness has come up before me." And yet I can't help but notice that God is coming to Jonah and saying, "Lest you miss it this time, it's not your message, it's my message." Preach the message that I bid thee. It's not your job to do whatever you want with the gospel. It's not your job to run to another place, but you're to take my message and my mission to a lost and dying world. Back in 2 Timothy, I want you to turn back over to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. There was an emphasis on Jonah to preach God's message. Can I tell you, we have an unchanged message today. It is still our responsibility to preach the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1 that Paul would stand before Timothy and he says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. You know what he's saying to Timothy? He's saying, listen, Timothy, you will stand before God and give an account one of these days. He says, God's going to judge the quick and the dead. And I'm so thankful, listen, as a Christian, I do not have to answer for my sins. I'm so thankful that when I stand before God one of these days, I don't have to answer for my sins, but I do realize that I will answer for how I live the Christian life. The opportunities that he gave me, what he called me to do. He says, I charge thee, Timothy, before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. And then he says this, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, Timothy, you're to preach not your message, but God's message. Amen. That word preach comes from the word, a Greek word from which we get the word herald. It has the idea of a town crier who would stand at the edge of town and would cry to the pertinent news of that day. And listen, I'm here to tell you that we are still to cry aloud and spare not our voice. The idea of heralding the divine expression. Paul would charge Timothy and say, Timothy, the message is unchanged. The same message that, listen, Jonah was to take to Nineveh, the same message that Timothy would take to a lost and dying world. Can I tell you, it's the same message that we have today. Preach the word of God. But what happens when people no longer want to hear the truth? What happens when the truth begins to offend people? Do we not live in a society today where many are pushing against the truth because they realize the truth offends them and they don't want to make a change in their life? Well, what happens when we get to that place? What should we do then? I encourage you tonight, we should continue to preach the word. And Paul would deal with this in verses 3 and 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I want to say in 2019, Paul is more prophetic than he ever possibly could have understood. We begin to look at this. There's coming a time, and by the way, we're there, when people will not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves, the Bible says, and after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, you go back and study the history of our country, and really in the last 50 years, you go back to the 60s and the 70s, and you would find that the largest churches in America, many of them, were Bible-preaching, Bible-believing Baptist churches. And yet something has shifted today. Listen, the mega churches of our day today, many of them would never preach the gospel. They would preach a message that would be one that would somewhat make the people feel good that come in there. They don't want to hear about their sins. And listen, many of the modern churches don't resemble anything like we see here in the scriptures. And yet, I love this because look what he says in verse 5 to Timothy. He says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Continue to preach the word even if it will cost you something. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Listen, he says, Timothy, continue to forge on ahead preaching the word of God. Continue to preach the message of God. Why? Because I want to say this. Listen, the preaching of the cross is the very power of God manifest in our world today. I love the thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Isn't it an interesting thing that the world looks at what we do here and they say, I don't understand. I often look, especially in the summertime, as we'll get into our vehicle on Sunday afternoon, and our neighbors know we go to church on Sunday morning. But they'll look at us as we load up the vehicle around 4:15 on Sunday afternoon, and the kids are in their church clothes, and the neighbors may be throwing a football or they're shooting a basketball, and they kind of look at us and say, they don't say it, but they look at us, and I can help tell what they're thinking. You're going to church again? Wednesday evenings, about 6:15, we'll come out, and I'll have a suit jacket on, and the kids are dressed up for church, and they kind of give us that expression again in their eyes. You're going to church again? Listen, the world doesn't understand it. But I want you to think about something. Think about the first time you came under the sound of Bible preaching. Think about the day that you got saved. Whether it was someone that took a Bible, a personal soul winner, and opened up and went verse by verse through the scriptures and expounded upon them and God began to convict your heart. Or maybe it was in a church service when you first were convicted of your need for salvation. Listen, did you not experience the power of God on display in that place? I think about every Sunday as we gather here and we see the power of God as the Word of God is opened, as the Bible is preached and the Word of God is preached, as we see here in the book of 2 Timothy and preaching the Word. And I want you to understand something. The gospel changes lives. The power of God is on display, and if it changed your life, can I tell you, it can still change lives today. Jonah was to go with the same message. It was unchanged. Can I tell you tonight, the world will mock and ridicule this message. They'll say it's outdated. They'll look at the Word of God, the very truth in God's Word. They'll say it's old-fashioned, it's archaic. But listen, if we can just get people under the sound of Bible preaching, if we can get our neighbors here, if we can get our coworkers here, if we can get those that are around us, listen, it will change their life. It'll give them a second chance. And much like we see in the Ninevites, much like we see in Jonah's life, just like it gave you and I a second chance. And yet back in the book of Jonah, we see an unchanged mission. We see an unchanged message. Can I tell you, 2,000 years later, after Paul writes this to Timothy, we still have an unchanged mission. We still have an unchanged message. But I want you to go back to Jonah in chapter 3, because I want you to see finally in quickly tonight, while we have an unchanged mission, while we have an unchanged message, praise God for a changed messenger. Praise God for how he had worked in Jonah's life. What's the change there? Well, it's found in verse 3. The Bible says, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. No longer yielded to himself. He's been through enough at this point. He realizes that God has been more than long-suffering to him. And he's finally changed. No longer yielded to himself, but yielded to God. I want to bring out a point tonight. I want you to understand this. God's grace, when it is received, will bring about a change in our lives. Listen, God ministers grace to all of us. As we go through this life, we may go through times of trials. We may go through times of difficulties. As Pastor said this morning, sometimes we bring those trials on ourselves. And sometimes we just go through trials. And yet God ministers grace to his children during those times of difficulty. But it's our choice whether we, first of all, receive that grace and allow it to change us. Some people go through a difficulty and it makes them bitter. They don't receive the grace of God, the help that he desires to give them as they go through that time of difficulty, and they turn to bitterness. But when we receive grace, it brings about a change. Jonah's life is a testimony to that, is it not? He's received the grace of God, and we see in his second chance. And yet I want you to understand something tonight. In Jonah's second chance, the choice came down to simple obedience or disobedience. God comes back to him, and he says, listen, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. He does not make Jonah go to Nineveh. He says, listen, I'm giving you a second opportunity. but you still have a free will. And listen, I believe, obviously, I believe that God was probably up fine giving Jonah no more chances. Probably one more opportunity to serve God, and yet I love this because Jonah's obedience would lead him down a path of faith. I want you to think about that tonight. When God calls us into a simple obedience to him, it always leads us down a path of faith. Now understand this, listen. Jonah would probably battle fear. We think about this. I mean, the very same thing that he ran from before is what God has called him to go back to. Jonah would probably deal with fear in his life. He used to tell a wicked city that they're about to be destroyed by God. I mean, look at verse 4. It's the bullet point of his message. He says there, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Not exactly a positive message that he goes into Nineveh with. You think he's battling some fear? I mean, this is an enemy of his people. And yet he's to go there all by himself. He's to preach the word of God. He's to tell them that God is going to destroy that city in 40 days. And no doubt about it, he's battling some fear. And I love this because his faith had to be greater than his fear. His faith in what God could do through him would have had to be greater than his fear. Can I tell you that Jonah probably would have been overwhelmed? We see there the size, the very task of the city that God had given to him. The Bible says there in verse 3 that Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. There's a couple of schools of thought there. One says this, that it was about 60 miles around the perimeter of Nineveh. Therefore, if you walked for 20 miles each day, it would take you about 3 days to walk around the circumference. Other people believe that Nineveh was more of a metropolitan area. Kind of like if you think about New York City and the different boroughs that are there. And the idea there was that while Nineveh was a metropolitan area, it was actually made up of several smaller cities. And then it would take you 3 days if you went from city to city preaching in the city of Nineveh. By the way, that seems more likely because the Bible says in verse 4, he began to enter into the city a day's journey, he cried, he began to preach in the first city that he possibly came to. But I want you to understand something. Jonah was on his own to preach to the entire city. You think that wouldn't have been a little overwhelming for him? To understand that his faith had to be greater than that which overwhelmed him. Here's what I love about this. In his obedience to God's call, Jonah would experience the power of God on him to accomplish what God had sent him there to accomplish. When he was simply just obedient to step out in faith, he would experience the power of God. Yes, there was probably fear. Yes, there was things that overwhelmed him. And yet I think in our lives today, as we think about serving God, yes, there is fear when God calls us to step out in faith. Yes, sometimes there is an overwhelming nature to that which God calls us to do. But in simple obedience to God's call, we can experience the power of God upon us to accomplish what God has sent us here to accomplish. The Bible says in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Jonah goes with this message. He begins to preach it. And listen, I love the response of the people. Jonah doesn't talk about how great the message was. He simply says this. Listen, this is the testimony. They believed God. Why? The only reason. Because Jonah had God's power on him. Jonah could not go into that city on his own and preach the word of God and expect the results that God gave here in this passage. Listen, when we are obedient to his call, we'll find we have the power of God upon us. I love the thought in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24 where the Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Listen, as God calls us to step out in faith, God in a unique way, as we step out in obedience, he puts his power upon us to accomplish that which he has set us here on this earth to accomplish. Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to turn over there tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to see this passage very quickly. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Look at this. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, as we step out in faith, the power of Jesus Christ comes upon us to be able to perform and to do that which he has called us to do. As we think about that, listen, as he calls us, we realize that there is still an unchanged mission. There's still an unchanged message. But we as his messengers ought to be changed by the grace that he has given to us, that long-suffering nature of God, time and time again in convicting us to bring us to a point of salvation, time and time again convicting us when we failed him as we lived the Christian life, and that he continues to be a long-suffering God. And when he calls us, we must simply answer in obedient faith. As we finish tonight, I was thinking about a way to illustrate this, and something happened in our family's life in the 1950s that really dramatically changed the course of our family. It was a man of God who came to Cleveland, Ohio to start a Baptist church there. And yet his testimony, his name was Roy Thompson. He was my pastor until I was in the ninth grade. His testimony was this: he was born in Akron, Ohio, and he was born into an abusive home. His father abused him, and his father was an alcoholic. By the time he was a later teenager, he was living on the streets. He had began to live the same life that his father was living. As a 19-year-old, his sister was in church, and she invited him to the Akron Baptist Temple for an Easter Sunday morning service. There was an evangelist there by the name of B.R. Lakin that day, and he preached the gospel. My pastor had walked into that building today, literally had walked in like he was living on the streets. The power of God came upon him, conviction fell upon him, and he walked the aisle and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior that morning. Began to change him. Realized he had been given a second chance. Not too long later, as he got into that church and began to get discipled, God called him to preach the Word of God. He went to the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. While he was there, God began to work on his heart and directed him back to the Northeast Ohio region, but specifically to the city of Cleveland. He picked up his phone one day and he called his pastor about the time he was getting ready to graduate. His pastor was a man by the name of Dallas Billington. He was a pastor of the Akron Baptist Temple. It was a very large church at one time, was running 3,000 or 4,000 people there in the city of Akron. And he called him and he said, "Pastor, I believe that God has called me to start a church in Cleveland." His pastor on the other end of the phone, he said this, listen, he said, "We will support you wherever you go. And if you think God would have you go to Cleveland, that's fine with us." But then he proceeded to beg him. He said, "Please don't go to Cleveland." He said, "Listen, can I tell you, Cleveland is known as a graveyard of preachers." He said, "Many men had gone there in the past. They've tried to get something started, and then nothing's ever materialized. It's always been a waste of time. It's been a waste of money. Please go somewhere other than the city of Cleveland." He got off the phone. He went back and he began to pray about it, and he realized, listen, God would still have him to forge on ahead. And that church, Akron Baptist Temple, was very instrumental in starting the Cleveland Baptist Church, and they got behind him and they supported him. But what no one realized at that time was in the 50s, the city of Cleveland, along with several other cities in that region, began to experience a boom. Right after the World War II had ended, manufacturing began to run at peak capacity. Cleveland had a couple of steel mills there, and they began to function at full capacity, running 24 hours a day. You would look at the cities of Pittsburgh and Youngstown, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, those cities that we would now call the Rust Belt. But you would look at those cities, and in the 50s was begin when they began to jump into some economic prosperity there. And what had happened is there were several people from West Virginia that took manufacturing jobs in Cleveland. And back in West Virginia, they had Bible preaching churches. And they were looking for a Bible preaching church in the city of Cleveland. And God directed a pastor there, and word began to spread. I love talking about some of the history. I remember asking my grandpa, how did pastor preach? Because when we had a full auditorium, he would preach the paint off the walls. He would preach conviction. And he said, listen, he did the same thing. If there was 15 people, it started in a farmhouse. If there was 15 people, he would preach like he was preaching to 1,000 people. He built a church on preaching the Word of God. In 2 years, in 1960, they were able to buy a piece of property and build a 500-seat auditorium, and they filled it almost immediately. 10 years after the start of the church, they finished their present-day auditorium, a 1,000-seat auditorium, in the city known as the Graveyard of Preachers. Listen, I want you to understand that is in life, God calls us to step out in faith. Sometimes we don't understand it. I can imagine as Jonah is given the second opportunity to go to Nineveh, he doesn't really understand all that God is going to do, and we'll study this later. Listen, even some things, Jonah's really not quite on board yet, and there's still some lessons to learn. But God had called him simply to step out in faith. It was a second chance. Can I say it wouldn't have been any easier the second time? He's still to go to Nineveh. The mission remains the same. The message doesn't get any easier, but thank God for a changed messenger. He found that he could trust God completely. Listen, when we find that we can just simply obey God, and when we step out in just simple obedience to him, he will work through us that which he desires to do with our lives. I look at many tonight that God has possibly given you a second opportunity or a third opportunity or who knows how many opportunities God has given to you. Can I tell you, we cannot expect another opportunity. And yet God may be calling to you tonight some form of service to him. Maybe there's someone in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can I tell you, never expect God to give you another opportunity to be saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And then as we step out in salvation, as we begin to serve God, so one of the greatest lessons we can learn from the life of Jonah is when we live a life that's not yielded completely to God, we make a mess of things. But if we'll just yield to him in simple obedience, God can work in that which he desires to do through our life. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. God is a God of second chances. I don't know how God may have used this in your life tonight. Maybe he's calling someone to him in salvation. To step out in salvation, you have been convicted of your need of a Savior. I want to invite you tonight to come to an altar where someone will take a Bible and can show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. And then maybe God's calling you to a life of service to him. Maybe he's given to you a second chance. Maybe you've experienced that grace of God that's been abundant in your life, and God is calling you and saying, listen, all I want is just simple obedience. There may be fear. You may be overwhelmed at the task at hand, but God says, listen, allow me to place my power upon you to do that which I desire to do in your life. Tonight, may we realize that God extends to us second chances, an opportunity to be a changed messenger. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful for the long-suffering nature of our God. And Lord, all of us have no doubt been extended grace time and time again from you. Lord, I pray if there's someone in here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. And maybe there are those, Lord, that just simply need to step out in obedient faith. Lord, you're calling them to something, and I don't know what it is, Lord, but you know exactly what it is, and you're urging them just to simply follow me in obedience. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to do that. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.